Hi, this is Teddy Lehman. You're listening to Locked On Sooners.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, Sooner Nation? This is David Walker. You are tuned in to Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And I'm excited today because we are talking about OU men's basketball. We're previewing the season. They tip off tomorrow night at Lloyd Noble against UTSA. And we're going to dive into the OU basketball program kind of from a 360 angle. We're going to have Austin Curtwright coming on with us in segment one from OU Daily. In segment two, we've got Matthew Mossman, graduate assistant with the men's basketball team there in Norman. And we're going with a little bit of a throwback because we have joining us from Israel, the point guard on the 2016 Final Four team, Isaiah Cousins. So we're going to give you a little bit of a beat writer perspective, a coach perspective, and a former player perspective on the season, and kind of give you that 360 approach to the season opener tomorrow. So that being said, we're excited that you're joining us today. You can follow me on Twitter at D_walk74. And sitting in for my co-host today is our trio of guests. So my co-host, John Williams, is not with us today because we got all these great guests lined up to talk OU men's basketball. And first up from OU Daily, we have Austin Curtwright. You can follow him at Austin Curtwright on Twitter. And Austin, welcome to the show, man.
What's up, man? I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, Austin, you know, just as we look ahead to 2021, the 2020-2021 season, you know, it's hard to do that without looking back on what took place in March with the 2020 season and the momentum that was built and, you know, the postseason that was lost. So what do you feel like is something that Oklahoma can take from their play down the stretch last year?
Yeah, so obviously OU ending on that come from behind win, the TCU, it pretty much locked their spot in March Madness and kind of, you know, jump-started their end of the year kind of. A lot of people were expecting them to kind of make some noise in the tournament, but, you know, something that I think that can really build upon is the play of Austin Reeves. Austin Reeves came into OU last year as a lot of different offensive player as he was at Wichita State. At Wichita State, you know, he was more of a spot-up shooter kind of guy, someone that could, you know, get the ball and post up and shoot. But, you know, he came to OU and was almost more of a facilitator. He was handling the ball a lot more with Davion Harmon being a younger guard. So I think that was a little bit of a transition to him, but down the stretch, I think he really made big strides. You know, he was averaging over 20 points per game his last five games of the year. You know, he's a great shooter, but he didn't quite have the year he wanted in terms of shooting from outside. So I think that's one of the big things for them to build on from last season. Obviously, Lon Kruger is a guy that's all of his teams, they're pretty much going to overachieve from where they are. You know, last year they picked 8th in the Big 12 and they finished 3rd. This year they're picked 6th. So we'll kind of see where they can go from here. But I'm expecting them to make a pretty decent jump from their game last season.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Austin Reeves and the way he finished the season with a 40-point win and a comeback in Fort Worth on the road against TCU. And, you know, they go into that, what would have been the Big 12 tournament, 19-12. You know, looking at a 20-win season, 20-plus win, like you said, maybe making a run there in the Big 12 tournament with the momentum that they had, they were a dangerous team. Anytime you got a playmaker like Austin Reeves who can create his own shot, that's dangerous. And you got the shooters like, you know, Prairie Bird, Brady Manick out there as well, who's capable of having 20-plus any given night. They had Doolittle that was rolling. So, yeah, certainly a dangerous team that like you said, they overachieved and maybe they didn't get to fully realize their potential, but I think that Sooner fans should be excited about Brady Manick and Austin Reeves coming back because both those guys are averaging 14 a game apiece. Now they're coming into their senior season. And Brady, you know, just talk about Brady Manick for a minute. You know, he came in with Trae Young and was kind of the, you know, the kind of the 1-2 punch, those freshmen that, you know, while Trae was all world, Brady was a really good freshman player. And he's, you know, progressed a little bit, added a little bit to his game each year. And now he's a senior. And still looks like Larry Bird, but now he's a senior that the Sooners have a guy there that they can rely upon that's been through a lot of battles and had a lot of big shots. So what's your take on Brady Manick and how he's going to elevate his game this year?
Yeah, the Prairie Dog's back. He's got the long hair, the mustache, and everything. But Brady's definitely a guy that's been one of the most consistent Sooners for the last four seasons, or, you know, Sooners players in general. But you know what Brady's going to give you? Hard minutes. He's going to really play. He's going to shoot it well. He's going to give you rebounds, play some defense. Brady can really do it all. And, you know, for him to be a senior and obviously play with, he would have been in three, you know, tournaments as of last year, not getting cut, but playing with Trae Young, playing with all of these guys, you know, I think he's a good leader for these young forwards that are coming up, and it's a good guy to learn from.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, another experienced guy coming in, a newcomer, is a transfer from North Texas in Mo Gibson, a 6'1 point guard that also averaged 14 a game last year for North Texas. And, you know, what does that do to this team when you add another guy? Now you got three perimeter players who are all capable of having big offensive nights. What does that do for this team and the outlook of the team? And what is the vibe on campus with that addition and his immediate eligibility being granted?
You know, I think that's absolutely huge for OU. You know, having three guys that can really shoot it, like Austin, Mo, and Brady on a team, I mean, you can go win a game any night with three perimeter shooters like that. So to have Mo, who obviously, you know, he shot over 40% from the three last year. He led their team in minutes last year. Second team All-Conference USA. He's going to be a huge addition to that team. I think he's going to complement Davion really well. I'm expecting Davion to make a big jump from this offseason. He had a really big offseason, put in a lot of work with his trainers. And so Mo's definitely going to be that. He can run the offense. He can play the two guard. I think he complements the rest of the team really well.
It's interesting that some of the best players that Oklahoma has had, you know, you go back all the way to Orion Minor in the early 90s, they've had some really good Oklahoma basketball players. Some of the best teams they've had, you know, even the Final Four team in 2016, you had Orion Spangler, you know, going back, Blake Griffin, Trae Young most recently, and now, you know, Brady Manick kind of leading that charge as a senior in-state kid. Having those local products who are standing out, has that been some good synergy there on campus as well, having those local guys?
Yeah, I think it's you're seeing it with Brady too. I think it's really big for the on-campus crowd, you know, and them as a team to have these local guys mostly growing up idolizing OU their entire lives. You know, they kind of give that different vibe that, like, okay, I'm here. Like, this is the team I've always wanted to play for. I mean, you see it with Blake Griffin, Trae Young, pretty much from the get-go. I mean, that was the team that those guys wanted to go to. So especially for Brady, you know, he grew up an OU fan his entire life. So that's definitely something that's almost a dream come true for them.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that certainly plays a part in a program like Oklahoma, where you need those four-year guys. You need those guys that are invested, because, you know, at a school where you're trying to find your basketball identity, sometimes it's nice to have those guys you can count on that have a deep affection for the program. It's something that it means a little bit more to them maybe than, you know, somebody that's you know, from out of state or a transfer. And that's not to knock those guys. There's just a different level of love for a program when you're, you know, quote unquote, Sooner born, Sooner bred. So, you know, what's the vibe like right now, Austin, just on campus? Obviously, you know, with COVID right now, there's just so much anxiety and stress around the fact of, like, you know, we don't know what tomorrow brings. Right. And for the basketball team, that's no different. I mean, they've had positive cases reported within the program, had to shut down activities for a little bit. But still, the season opener is on tap here for the 25th. So what is that vibe like right now within the program? Are they just, is it business as usual, as the best they can? But, or what are you seeing there from the on-campus side of things?
You know, it's been a difficult semester for sure, but I'm sure that it's been super difficult for the basketball team. They had a case last week, but, you know, they talked about, Mo Gibson actually talked about it, transferring in, you know, not being able to really connect with your teammates as much as hard, but it's hard for a student in general to be like, okay, you're a student and you're a basketball player. You can't do anything else. So it's been really tough for them. Yeah. I'm sure it's really tough mentally on that. Lon Kruger touched on it at availability, but, you know, he said that it's really tough for a team not knowing if they're going to have enough guys, you know, cause it's not like football where you have a much larger roster, you know, one, two guys get knocked out in basketball and you're done for 2 weeks. So it's definitely going to be a difficult thing to deal with this year for sure with COVID, because the rosters are so small, but they've been taking precautions and, you know, it seemed like they've kind of taken it business as usual, so far with practicing. They didn't have a COVID case until last week, all throughout the summer, all throughout the fall. So, you know, I think that they're handling it pretty well, but I'm sure it's very difficult for them.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be like that across the country. I think as we go through, you know, the holiday season right here with these early games. And, you know, Austin, we appreciate you coming on and joining us today. And follow Austin on Twitter at Austin Curtwright. He'll be covering the Sooners for the OU Daily. And we'll be right back with more here on Locked On Sooners with Matthew Mossman, Oklahoma grad assistant. And he'll be right back with us after this.
But first, let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? Well, College Football Saturdays offer the perfect opportunity to watch football and chill with the only beer that's made to chill, Coors Light. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Even though there are fewer teams playing on Saturdays, there are still plenty of games and other sports going on to give you the opportunity to relax and have a beer. So whether you're having a beer with friends, cooking some meat on the grill, winding down from working in the yard, or watching a full slate of college football games on Saturday, make sure you reach for the official beer of watching any sport or any team just to have a beer. So when you want to reset from a long work day or to enjoy while taking in your favorite team, reach for the beer that's made to chill. You can now get Coors Light in its new look delivered straight to your door by going to get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
And we're back here on Locked On Sooners with Matthew Mossman, graduate assistant for the men's basketball program there at Oklahoma. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, man, excited to pick your brain. And I know you and I are both coaches' kids and kind of grew up around the game in the state of Oklahoma with, you know, parents that were coaches. And I think, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about just right off the bat, you know, you're there on staff with Lon Kruger, who is one of the most successful coaches across the country, and he's done it at a lot of different places. You know, what have you seen being on staff there in Norman that makes Coach Kruger's team so successful?
You know, you hear everything about Coach Kruger, and it's also spot on about him being genuine and him being, you know, transparent through everything. And I think just his consistency and with his staff and with his players, you know what you signed up for when he recruits you. He doesn't change. I think a lot of times in college basketball, it's such a salesman thing during recruiting and a pitch where, you know, they're going to say whatever they can do to get you. And a lot of that's true, but Coach Kruger just remains the same. And he's the same day in and day out. And he's very approachable. You don't ever, you know, get nervous or scared to go up to him and talk to him. And I think one thing that helps him so much too is he's so consistent with listening to others too. You know, he'll take suggestions from whoever, assistant coaches, allows us as GAs to sit in there on conference room meetings and just he's not, nothing is about him when it comes to Oklahoma basketball. He you know, he said it today in the locker room, consistently telling our guys, this is your program. This is your program. But at the same time, he understands that, you know, wins and losses and certain things like that fall back on him still. And he takes the responsibility of losses. The old saying is players win and coaches lose. And he'll take all the responsibility for losses, and he'll be the first one to shove out all the, you know, gratitude to the players for the win.
Yeah, and there's obviously a lot there that players want to play for a guy like that, right? When you're willing to point thumbs when you lose and give your players credit when you win. That sounds simple, right, Matt? I mean, but you and I both know, we've seen a lot of coaches, that's not the case everywhere. And sometimes it's
right.
It's the coach is bigger than the program. And it's refreshing to hear you say that. Just, I know you've known Coach Kruger a long time, but when you look at somebody that's who they appear to be on TV is who they really are. And that genuine nature, mm-hmm. We have Isaiah Cousins coming up in the third segment here. And, you know, in talking with Isaiah, it's Coach Kruger is who he is. And you can tell that from former players who I've talked with.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's why you've seen so many guys in our program been able to be successful. When you look at obviously the guys like Trey Young and Buddy Hield and what they were able to do in their time here, but even a guy like Christian Doolittle last year, you know, being a first team, all Big 12 player, just the freedom that coach gives them on the court and allows them to be themselves and to make plays and to be the basketball players that they are, and doesn't try to do, you know, honestly, he's one of the best at just putting players in the right position to help them succeed the most. It's not really about making them conform to like the way he wants to run an offense or I think in my year and a half now being around him, he's done such a good job of changing things left and right just to better adequate his players rather than forcing his players to adequate towards his style of play.
Yeah, no doubt. And the Trae Young experience, I think, is a great testament to that, because he let Trae be Trae. You know, he didn't try to say, no, hey, listen, I know you're a prolific scorer, I know you're a generational talent, but we're going to do it my way here. You know, there wasn't that. And there were times he probably took heat for that, for letting Trae be Trae. But he was staying true to himself and his coaching style, and I think that's really cool to see. Now, Matt, as you look at this season, you guys are coming off of a year where you finished strong, you had all the momentum, finished third when you're pick seven, and, you know, then you have everything stripped away from you. Like a lot of, you know, teams across the country and all levels didn't get to finish that postseason basketball like everybody wants in March. So that being said, you got guys like Brady Manek and Austin Reeves, you know, Austin putting up 40 points on the road in Fort Worth and a huge win to kind of help that ride that wave of momentum that you guys had to finish. Now those guys are coming in as seniors and didn't get to play the March Madness that they deserved to get to go to. How much of a sense of urgency do those guys have to pick up where they left off and take it further?
Well, you know, for a guy like Austin, I think he was really, you know, it sounds so cliche to say, but he was really playing his best basketball there at the end. And obviously the 42-point game against TCU makes that sound good, but he was really starting to just elevate his game and kind of was taking over the point guard position for us a little bit. And just kind of you saw more freedom that we were used to seeing during his redshirt year and during practice. I think, you know, to sit out for a full season as a redshirt and then to try to come in and you know, there's a certain amount of hype surrounding you that you're this big-time shooter and Austin's so much more than that. And I think he wanted to prove that to a certain degree. But for guys like him and Brady, yeah, I think, you know, the urgency for this season is those guys just want to play and pushing the season back 20 days because of COVID. You know, it just gives us 20 more days with no exhibitions and no scrimmages where we can't play against anybody else. We're scrimmaging each other. We're sick and tired of playing each other. We want to go play somebody else. But for those two guys being seniors, you know, finishing third in the Big 12 was obviously such a great thing for us. But we just really were bummed because we thought we could make a little noise there in the postseason, not just the Big 12 tournament, but the NCAA tournament. But, you know, using that moving forward to this year, you can see that those two guys in practice, they're all business and they're all go each and every day.
Well, and it's important to have those kind of senior leaders to set the tone. You know, you look at this program historically, and I know, you know, you spent a lot of time in Norman, you know, growing up as well, and you've seen these great teams in Oklahoma all the way back to the, you know, the Kelvin Sampson days of Ryan Miner and Hollis Price and then Eduardo Najaraz to the Buddy Hield and Isaiah Cousins led team, Ryan Spangler. Those senior leaders have really been imperative. I mean, Aaron McGee there with Quantas White and Hollis Price. I mean, we could go on and on about the best teams at Oklahoma historically have had strong senior leadership. So you take those two guys coming back, both averaged over 14 a game last year, and now you get a transfer from North Texas that gets granted immediate eligibility who also averaged over 14 a game. You know, what does that addition look like, and how is that going to factor into this offensive flow?
Yeah, you know, Mosier Gibson coming over from North Texas and already getting his waiver from the NCAA. You know, he's a guy that I think Sooner fans are really going to be excited for, and he's really an easy kid to cheer for. You see a certain amount of dog, as they say, in this kid, and he competes in everything he does, whether it's him shooting a free throw, him doing warm-up, him doing ball handling, stretching, whatever he's doing it 100%, and he's one of the hardest workers I've ever been around. He gives us an element on the perimeter that we didn't have as much of last year as a perimeter shooter. You know, he comes over from North Texas shooting 39 to 40% last year. I think he made close to 85 threes on the season two. And he's just such a competitor that on both ends of the floor, defensively and offensively, that, you know, like I said, I think Oklahoma fans would be really excited about watching him play.
Yeah, that's exciting. And just to have somebody that come in that is, you know, battle tested and game ready and who's even gone head to head with the team that he's playing against. Right. I mean, you guys had a good battle with them last year in Denton. And, you know, looking into the front court, though, you know, what can we look for from the big men and who can we expect to be in that mix?
Right. So obviously the tallest task for the season this year might be the, you know, replacing the front line of Christian Doolittle. And I think that it'll be done in a various ways this year. You look at a senior Kirkwath, who was a JUCO transfer who played limited minutes this year, but, you know, I think the coaching staff is certainly expecting bigger things out of him this year in minutes played and just the different looks he gives us that we didn't have as much last year with him playing the limited numbers that he did. Obviously, last year we played a lot of times with our front line was Brady and Dudu there's not a great shot blocking presence on that. And I think with Kerr, you get that. And a great glimpse of that was last year's Texas Tech game at home, at Chesapeake. I think he had 5 blocks in that game. And, you know, he's not a guy that needs his points or needs, you know, certain accolades, but he does some dirty work for us, and he defends ball screens great, and he blocks shots, and he rebounds, and uses his length, you know, 6'10" frame, and he really is poised for a great senior year. And the other guy I would say is Victor Owakor, who was a freshman last year, maybe the most athletic kid on the team, but just I mean, if you look at the kid, he's got such like a football build, and he's strong as all get out, and he competes again like crazy, and great rebounder, and he's kind of developed that Christian Doolittle mid-range shot to a degree. It's not where Deuce was quite yet, but he's a kid that's relentlessly working on it and wants to always get better, and he's a kid that you see frustration when he messes up because he wants to be great so badly. But those are certainly two kids that Sooner Nation should be on the lookout for this year.
That's awesome, man. I'm getting excited just hearing about this roster and the makeup of it and just the veteran presence. You know, I mean, we're talking about a lot of veterans here on this team and a lot of them that are hungry based on the way they finished last season. The precedent has been set for exceeding expectations. And I think Coach Kruger has done that throughout his career, everywhere he's been.
Right.
And he's also always been great at getting transfers to come in and produce immediately. You know, going back to the Final Four team in 16 with Ryan Spangler coming from Gonzaga. So I know that's been a strength of his, and I'm sure that'll be a seamless transition when we get the roster rotations set as a non-conference play starts. So we got non-conference play tipping off there at Lloyd Noble with UTSA, and give our fans kind of a rundown of what the first few games look like for you guys as far as the schedule goes.
Yeah, so the non-conference schedule is really exciting for us. It was exciting going in, and had to be some shuffling because of COVID, but we open up with UTSA, and Sooner fans will remember Steve Henson as assistant coach, is their head coach and has been over the last few seasons. And Scott Thompson's one of their assistants who was the video coordinator on that Final Four team here at Oklahoma. And I think we've played UTSA every year since Steve went down there. Right off the bat, they present one of the best backcourts we're going to face all season. Keaton Wallace and Javon Jackson are two guys that I want to say they're like top three or top five in the NCAA in pace of play and points per game. And those two guys, we got a glimpse of them last year at home, and we'll have to do everything we can to slow them down again this year. That game is before the day before Thanksgiving. And we'll have Thanksgiving, and then the next day we'll leave for Orlando to play at Central Florida on that following Saturday. Which is the return of a home-and-home game where we had an exciting finish with them here this past year. And then after that, we'll return home on December 2nd to play Florida. And with the new way the schedule's faced, the fourth game of the year, we roll right into Big 12 play, and we head down to Fort Worth and play TCU. So the schedule to open up is interesting, that we played 2 Big 12 games in the first semester. We've never really done that. And to look, the fourth game down the line, we're already playing a Big 12 school, is going to be wild, but I think it's exciting at the same time.
Yeah, that is exciting. You guys are diving right into it with some big-time matchups right out of the gate, and then to open up Big 12 play, Austin Reeves returning to the scene of the crime with his 42 spot.
Right.
So right back where he left off. That's exciting, and I'm sure the Sooner fans will be tuning in. I know it's an unconventional season, but basketball in Norman is long overdue, and we're excited to follow you guys throughout the year. So thanks for coming on with us today, Matt, and best of luck this year.
Hey, thanks for having me so much.
And now I want to take a moment to tell you about Built Go. Built Go is the energy boost you need to replace your energy drinks. Do you have a wall that you bump up against throughout your day? Well, the people that brought you the fastest growing protein bar, Built Bar, now have a way to give you the energy you need to break through your wall. Whether it's to finish out your work day, provide extra energy for your workout, or to have the energy needed for your back nine, Built Go's packets of protein plus vitamins helps get the nutrients into your system quickly. It's like drinking a Monster energy drink with a third of the caffeine and a longer lasting result. Built Go comes in 3 amazing flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. It's the portable, longer lasting energy supplement that improves your energy and promotes your health. Use the promo code LOCKED and save 30% off your first order by going to builtgo.com. Let's go!
And we're back here on Locked On Sooners, and we have coming to you from Israel, former All Big 12 point guard and leader of the 2016 Final Four team, Isaiah Cousins. Isaiah, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Everything's good. How are you?
Doing well. Excited for Sooner basketball to come back around, and really excited to pick your brain, and we appreciate you joining us from the other side of the world. And know you got a lot going on there with your career, and we want to get to that, you know, before we get you out of here. But, you know, just for starters, Isaiah, as we look at a new basketball season coming up, they had all this momentum. That team was playing their best basketball at the end of the season. March Madness, including the Big 12 tournament, kind of comes and goes, and they don't get to have that experience. But, you know, all the more, I think when you have that taken away, it's even more valuable when you look back at what you and Buddy Hield and Ryan Spangler as seniors were able to do for the program back in 2016 and getting to that Final Four. Talk about what that meant to you to finish your career that way.
Just being able to go to the Final Four as a senior, it was fun. It was a journey. Just thinking back and reflecting back on all the stuff we did in the summertime, all the intense training we had to do, and it was just exciting, and it was like a relief because of the hard work we put in the summer, and just having those talks with the players and just picking each other's brain about, like, it's something that we really talked about. So it was a fun thing going out there and doing it. So
looking back on that, what were the, you know, you mentioned the journey to get there. You guys had a great 4-year run. You know, in your career, you had 2 NCAA tournament appearances as a freshman and a sophomore, and then your junior year, you go to the Sweet 16. Your senior year, you win the regional there in Oklahoma City and go to the Final Four. But over the course of that 4 years, you guys averaged 24 wins a season. What goes into that sustained success, you know, in the Big 12, which is one of the toughest basketball leagues in America? What went into that consistency and that sustained success that you guys had for those 4 years?
Just the environment Kruger had set out for us as when we got there as a freshman. That was one of the main goals to reach the tournament. And our first 2 years, we just failed and just we didn't win one game. So our junior year, we really wanted to win more games in the tournament. We felt we understood what it felt just to get there, and also we felt when we got there how it felt when we lost. So just those 2 losses, my freshman and sophomore year when we got to the tournament, it gave us motivation to go further. And when we got to the Sweet 16 my junior year, it was like we felt that we could have went further. So like now we know what we got to do to go further.
Yeah, you look at Oklahoma basketball, Isaiah. A lot of the best teams that they've had, the Final Four teams or the Elite Eight teams, they kind of had, you know, a signature player. Whether you go back to Eduardo Nájera, Hollis Price, Blake Griffin. Then with your era, you know, Buddy took the nation by storm that year. You finished your career that senior season just coming on stronger and stronger. Ended up getting drafted as well by the Sacramento Kings. So star power, to some extent, has always been coinciding with the sustained success or the far runs that Oklahoma has made into the NCAA tournament. So when you look at their model of success or what it takes at a program like OU to have those deep runs, how important is it, you know, from your perspective, to have those senior leaders, those veterans, you know, step up and identify themselves to be able to move the needle enough to get those runs accomplished?
It's very important because seniors, they always bring leadership, and whether or not they made it in the past, it's always something that they want to put on their list before they graduate. So they bring a big role in getting the guys prepared every day for the journey ahead, and just being there to show them, like, we can make a run in the tournament. We just gotta lay out like a little platform for them, and as long as everybody is on the same page, then I think the sky's the limit.
Well, and one other thing that Coach Kruger has done a great job of, really, at all of the places that he's been. I mean, going back to UNLV, he had a lot of transfers that would come in, you know, Division I transfers. And here at Oklahoma currently, they have, you know, 2 of their top returners coming back. They have Austin Reeves, who had transferred from Wichita State. And you got Brady Manick, that's a 4-year guy, you know, similar to yourself and a buddy who have been invested in the program for 4 years. He came in with Trey Young, and they collectively had really good freshman years. Obviously, Trey's, you know, overshadowed that to some extent. But then this year, they got a transfer from North Texas that's coming in, also averaged 14 a game last year. So when you have a transfer player come in, so I bring that up because you guys had Ryan Spangler come in from Gonzaga, who was a huge part of that core group that you guys had. And I think that the leadership that you three, you know, collectively you seniors showed during that run, now they have, you know, Oklahoma has Austin Reeves, who played last season in his first year in the program, Brady Mannix, a four-year guy. Both those guys are seniors. Now they have this point guard or scoring guard coming up from North Texas. How does Coach Kruger do such a good job of implementing these transfers in where it's kind of a seamless process, or is there a learning curve for transfers coming in, and what is that process like?
The process is it normally starts in the summertime when they get there and when they start playing pickup with them and you start building a bond with them. That's the time it really starts because most of the time transfers always they want to prove themselves and as a team you always trying to prove yourself as well. So because most of the years there we was underdogs. So I think Kruger knows the type of players that will fit the team and he knows personnel and he knows what type of players that he needs in order to make that run. He knows what he's looking for in order to make a possibly run to the NCAA tournament. He knows what kind of guys that would gel together depending on their playing style. So Kruger does a great job doing that.
Well, making a run through the Big 12 is no easy task. And, you know, last season's team, they were picked seventh and they finished third. And I know that, you know, you guys had some incredible battles. I think back to your senior season, you know, at Kansas, you guys had I think it was double, triple overtime, just an epic confrontation there. And you guys were going toe to toe with the Jayhawks. But what is it about Kansas? You know, I guess you've had Kansas at the top for so long. You know, Baylor's ranked number two in the nation preseason this year. The depth of this league, you add a West Virginia that's come in, it's a long trip to make, tough environment to play in. As you go through a Big 12 season, you know, what is necessary for, especially a team that has some veteran leadership, what's necessary to be successful this year and to, you know, because again, they're picked number six out of 10 teams, but to exceed expectations, to take that underdog mentality and prevail, what do they need to have, you know, from a mental perspective to be able to accomplish those things?
I think they need to be a team that's able to keep their composure during adversity, like some Kansas games and West Virginia. The crowd really gets into it, and you need leadership during those games because those games, the home team could get in a run in any time of the game, and the whole atmosphere of the game can change drastically. So by you having leaders on your team, it allows the team to kind of be patient and fight, find a way to figure out how to win in those tight games and those tight situations. So, yeah. And the Big 12 is definitely tough. It's very tough, but that's the fun part about it. Going in there, winning those games when they don't think you're supposed to. That's the whole fun part about it. And Kruger, he has an underdog mentality, and he always set up his guys and he motivates them in the locker room. So Kruger's doing a good job.
Yeah, no doubt, and then it's obvious with the sustained success that he's had there. I mean, it's, you know, he's coached a lot of places and went to the Final Four with Florida, coached in the NBA, and now he's in his longest tenure as a coach there at Oklahoma, you know, starting in 2011 and to this day now. So we're excited to see what the future brings for this particular Sooner roster. But Isaiah, let our Sooner fans know how they can keep up with your career in Israel and what's going on with you over there overseas.
Right now, I'm currently in Israel playing for Galil Gilboa. And you can find me on Instagram. And most of my career, I was in the G League. So this is like my second year overseas. So still trying to make it to the NBA. I'm still grinding, still trying to get better. And it's a process still, but I'm still playing basketball, still having fun with it. As long as I have fun and I can enjoy it and meet different people all around the world.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm sure your worldview is increasing with all the travels and all the experiences and the new teammates and the new cultures. And, you know, we're excited for you to have those experiences, and we'll be pulling for you as you finish up your season over there and continue to follow your journey along the way through social media. And well, where can they follow you on Instagram?
Fraga Benz. Fraga Benz is my Instagram.
Okay.
So which is my nickname.
All right.
Yeah, Fraga Benz, that's my nickname.
Okay, all right. I didn't know the origin, so there it is, at Fraga Benz on Instagram. Catch Isaiah Cousins. Keep up with his career over in Israel. And Isaiah, we thank you for coming on Locked On Sooners, and we'll be pulling for you, and we'll keep up with you along the way.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Boomer Sooner.
All right, Boomer Sooner.
And that's going to do it for us today here at Locked On Sooners. I hope you enjoyed this 360 approach to the men's basketball preview episode. I certainly enjoyed my time with Austin and Coach Mossman and talking with Isaiah all the way from Israel. But this is going to be a fun Sooner season. I definitely see a lot of potential. I see two seniors specifically in Brady Manick and Austin Reeves that did everything within their power to get that team to the third spot in the Big 12 last year, had March Madness taken away from them through no fault of their own. The sense of urgency that those two individuals will come into this season with, I can assure you, will be something that will be fun to watch. And with Mo Gibson and company coming alongside of them, it's going to be a fun season at Lloyd Noble. So make sure you keep up with this team as they tip off against UTSA there at Lloyd Noble Center. And as they progress through this season, it's going to be a lot of fun. So keep up with this team. We're going to be talking about them here on Locked On Sooners. Of course, we're going to get back into football. We still got a lot of football ahead of us, but we want to give men's basketball their due. And we'll be keeping up with the women's team as well. We're going to be checking in on them. I know they're starting their season also, but we want you guys to, you know, hear from all of Sooner Nation. We want all Sooner Athletics to get a little bit of love on this podcast. And if you got some things you want us to cover, shoot us a DM at Locked On Sooners on Twitter. Give us a follow. We hope you'll go and join our Facebook page at Locked On Sooners on Facebook. And if you can give us some feedback on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating, write us a review. We'd love to hear from you guys. Until next time, for John Williams, I'm David Walker. Boomer Sooner.